Hour number two of the Blitz back here. Rick, Brandon, Chance, and Matt. One more hour with you, sending you into the weekend. And then, of course, we'll see you back right here on Monday. So, we've talked quite a bit this whole week.
Quite a bit?
Quite a bit about...
Thank you for noticing.
Kerry Blackshear Jr. Where was he going to go? I believe he's supposed to be in Knoxville this weekend, right?
Yeah, he should be here today.
He should be here today.
Is there another SEC team after him, if you tell me?
Worse.
No, there's
it's
not. So
it's not an SEC team.
Basically, we've already known that Florida, Arkansas, Texas A&M in the mix. Gonzaga might be thrown in there. Kentucky. But we have a new report coming out.
What?
It looks like Penny Hardaway and Memphis are on the prowl for Blackshear.
Penny coming after Rick Barnes' recruits now, huh?
They are...
Expected. He's holding a grudge.
They're reporting that he is considering Memphis. So, there's a lot of things we don't know about this yet. We don't know if he's going to take an actual visit. We don't know... We basically just don't know how serious this gets. But nonetheless, man, this is right up there with disaster levels for Tennessee and really for kind of all of these teams that have been in the mix for Blackshear. He's been taking a lot of visits. He's obviously been thinking about this a lot. If Hardaway comes in with Memphis and snatches him up, if he gets him to go along with, you know, they have five-star James Wiseman coming in, right? They have another five-star Precious
Achiuwa
coming in. Just a load of four-star prospects coming in. Like, this is...
Oh, Memphis got a squad.
Memphis is certainly rebuilding. Kerry Blackshear Jr. Would be just... It would be unbelievably bad for Tennessee if they could come in and prime out just like that.
I mean, I think Memphis is going to be good next year regardless.
But
you add... Along with all that talent, that young talent that they're bringing in, if Memphis is able to get Blackshear and you add a veteran that can play as good as he can, you add that into the mix. Memphis is, I feel like they're one of the top, probably top 10 team going into next year.
Oh, absolutely.
Easy a top 10 team, easily.
I think it's going to be tough when they come in here to Knoxville.
That's with the addition of Wiseman and Achiuwa. Most definitely. Penny, man, we don't know how well he can coach. I mean, I guess if you had to give a grade on his coaching ability this year, it's like B minus, C plus, somewhere around there. Maybe just a C because of the kind of back and forth he had with Rick Barnes. Didn't make a lot of sense. But outside of that, man, he's recruiting. And – he's coached well at the level below this. If he can own in those coaching skills at this level, the way he's recruiting, they're going to be really good. I mean, that's an easy Sweet 16 team that we just named off.
So, Brandon, let me ask you this. We just talked about how, you know, kind of the teams that he is reported to be considering. Florida, Arkansas, Kentucky, Texas A&M, Gonzaga, Memphis. Which of those would be the most troublesome for Tennessee? Because you got a few different options, right? He could go to somebody who will already be established next year, Memphis or Kentucky. He could go to somebody who, you know, it might right be there on the fringe, kind of like where Tennessee is. He steps onto the roster and, you know, he's immediately a total difference maker like you probably don't have on your team. That would be your Arkansas, your Florida. I would put Tennessee in there. I'm not really going to consider Gonzaga because that would be fairly irrelevant to Tennessee. And then you have Texas A&M, which he would just, you know, make them significantly improved on where they are right now.
I think worst case scenario for Tennessee would be if he goes to Kentucky because you have to play them twice. Then Memphis, then I would put Florida.
See, I've kind of convinced myself that Florida might be the worst. which I don't necessarily think is likely, because it just kind of feels like at this point, like, why would he go to, like, what does Florida really have to offer him? I don't know. But to me, it's worse if, like, you know that that Memphis game and the Kentucky game are going to be challenges for Tennessee. Right? Who knows what's going to happen? Who knows what the Vols are going to look like next year? But they're already going to be challenges. To me, you look at a team like Florida and think, all right, well, at this point in time right now, Tennessee should be favored above them. So it should certainly be, you know, a team that loses to Tennessee at some point in the season, right? What does Blackshear do to that? Do they put them above Tennessee? They certainly give us a little more run for our money, you would assume.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know what Florida's bringing in. I mean, they may be picked ahead of us. I think they had some – I'm not 100% sure, but I think they had some pretty good recruits coming in. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know where – I mean, obviously Kentucky's going to be toward the top. I mean, Florida seems to always kind of be there. I mean, they had a little bit of a down year this year, but still made the tournament. Pretty sure they made won at least one game in the tournament. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Florida, I mean, you may be right. Florida, it may be Kentucky, then Florida for me, and then Memphis. I'm not sure if you have to play Florida twice next year or not. I can't remember if they were on the because the SEC basketball schedule came out. I can't remember if Florida was one of the teams that you played twice or not. I don't think they were. I think it was Arkansas and Auburn were the other two teams that you had to play twice. So you only had to play Florida once, I think. I'll double check.
Nonetheless, it's interesting, and it is a completely new wrinkle into really just what Tennessee is trying to do. We're trying to get Blackshear. We're trying to get this other guy, Josephat, Bilal. This is a totally new wrinkle that gets thrown in for the Vols. Yeah. Matt, welcome to the program today.
Yeah, somebody actually took a picture of Rick Barnes with Bilal here in town yesterday. He was over at a restaurant off of Kingston Pike.
So you have Bilal and Blackshear, who are presumably both here today. Because it is confirmed that Blackshear, the 14th, was his official visit date, as long as Bilal stayed over. You know, from yesterday to today, likely, you know, he didn't leave this morning or anything. That's interesting. What'd you find out about Florida?
Nothing yet. I just Googled 2019-2020 Tennessee basketball schedule. It's only got a few. I didn't know we were playing Wisconsin next year. That's interesting.
Cincinnati. Were they ranked last year?
I don't know.
Me neither.
I'm trying to find this. I found it because I remember us talking about it on the show last week, but I'm almost positive that we only play Florida once.
Okay. We're still going to try to figure that out, but I don't know. It's a weird deal. You have two recruits in town right now, and you have zero spots. What if they both decide they want to come? Like, this is what the conversation has been all week. What are you going to do? I obviously think that Memphis jumping in the mix for Blackshear makes it even more less likely that we're probably not going to get him. It feels like Kentucky has a visit to Kentucky after us. You would think that if he's really considering Memphis, then he's going to take a visit after that. I don't know what the deadline is that he has to make a decision by, do you?
No, I don't know if there is one. I did see something earlier this week. We finally kind of have some information as to what he wants,
okay,
what he's looking for. And it's not exposure, doesn't want anything that's going to feature. He just wants to go somewhere that's going to have a deep postseason run. That's what reports have said, that's what he's looking for. Somewhere that he can go and have a deep postseason run. And yeah, it is Arkansas and Auburn, the teams that you play twice next year.
Along so Florida's with, not.
Right, along with Kentucky, Vanderbilt, South Carolina.
Okay. Oof. Not great news for Tennessee, if that is what he wants. You know, that has been quite the thorn in our side lately. I mean, nonetheless, who knows what's going to happen? What we've been saying is that Blackshear is the guy for Tennessee that takes him to that level. Right? Maybe he doesn't see Tennessee as that team right now. You know, maybe he sees us as what we see that Tennessee as, a good team with good pieces, a couple of unknowns. Could go either way.
Yeah, and I mean, that's if you're Rick Barnes and this coaching staff, you on this visit, you've got to convince him that, hey, if you come here, we really believe that adding you to this team can change our roster immensely, and we can make a nice postseason run if you become part of this team. I think that's what you got to sell him on.
There's just so much. There's way more Tennessee basketball recruiting news than I had ever imagined heading into this summer. And you really do have some weird things going on that I think it will be interesting to see. Now, if I had to make a guess, I would say that we would hear from Bilal before Blackshear, just because I think that Blackshear probably has a lot, maybe more to think about, more to consider. He's still got a couple schools you think he might go out and visit. But it's going to be interesting to see. I don't know. Maybe something comes out on a little bit of news drops later today on one of these two guys. They're both in Knoxville today. Stay tuned here. Fan Run Radio will have you covered all day. If any kind of news does drop on one of these two guys, just maybe about what they're doing or what they're thinking or what's going on. But we will see. Brandon Wesley says, this Brandon Canada rivalry is getting to a Shawn Michaels Canada level. Do you understand fully the reference?
I do.
He's making a big reference there. Although he kind of is calling you Shawn Michaels.
I have no problem with that.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. HBK. Heartbreak Kid.
Shawn Michaels in Canada had a good rivalry. The Rock in Canada had a good rivalry. And now you're up there. Congratulations.
You said that would make me Shawn. You said that like it was a bad thing. Yeah, is there a bad thing with being Shawn Michaels? I mean, Shawn Michaels is
the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Yeah. I don't think
not,
there's...
Not the GOAT, but...
I think he's the greatest in-ring wrestler of all time. Certainly.
Love Shawn Michaels.
The Heartbreak Kid. Have you seen what he looks like nowadays?
No.
It's not good.
Looking rough?
It's not good, man. He looks old. We are going to... Huh? Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does.
Scruffy beard.
Yeah. I'll show you a picture in a minute. We're going to catch a quick break. If you would like to join in on the phone lines, 865-546-8200. And we will see you right on the other side. On the Blitz. Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. So, sporting news. Respectable website. They put
been
out there.
Been in the game for quite a long time.
They put out their 2019 coaching rankings. Some of it is about pretty much what you would expect. When you go to the top few, Nick Saban's number one. Dabo Sweeney's number two. I guess you can make an argument for Dabo now passing Saban. I don't know. I mean, I know what's happened last year, but man, you know, it's we as Tennessee fans, more than anyone, has seen it, has seen the destruction, the consistency. Three is interesting. Jimbo Fisher. Did Jimbo Fisher come off the top to you as the third best coach in college football?
No, but I'm looking at the I'm looking at this list, and after Dabo and Saban, you can kind of just
mix and
move
match
these guys around.
Yes.
If it were me, I might put Lincoln Riley or Kirby Smart 3, just kind of shuffle Jimbo Fisher, shuffle those three around.
I'd probably put Lincoln Riley above Jimbo. It'd be hard for me to Kirby, and I got a little bit of bias for Jimbo as a Florida State fan, but as far as, like, consistency for as long as he's done it, yeah, he's done it for a pretty long while. He's somewhat noted as a, you know, offensive guy, quarterback whisperer, seen what he's done with quarterbacks in the past, especially when he was a offensive coordinator with Saban, the LSU years, and then what he did at Florida State as offensive coordinator before he became a head coach and national champion as a head coach. I think he gets a lot of notoriety because, I mean, he did leave a great program where he got, you know, pretty much anything he wanted. Had some couple, you know, mediocre seasons there at the end, but, you know, he had Florida State rolling. He won a title. They were consistently, until the last season, winning up to 10 games a year. So, and then for him to just make the jump to Texas A&M and, you know, do as well as he did in the first season there, that's why he probably got a little bit of this jump. But I'd probably put Lincoln Riley above him. And it'd be hard for me to put Lincoln Riley ahead of Jimbo because he doesn't have a national title. I think there's probably a lot of credence is given to active coaches with national championships in this list. If Urban Meyer's on this list, he's probably a top three. You know, he's up there as well. These other coaches are great coaches. They don't have titles yet. But Lincoln Riley, I'd probably say he's above Jimbo right now. He just seems like he's going to get one eventually for sure.
So looking at the SEC, where do SEC coaches land? That's right. We already told you Nick Saban was number one. Jimbo Fisher is at number three. Kirby Smart is at four. Looking up the list. Number eight, I think this one will get a lot of people maybe a little riled up.
Dan Mullen yeah,
at Florida.
I think that's fair. He definitely earned it this past year. He goes in there. A lot of people, like, his first – and it was like only after, like, the first couple games, like, oh, look at what Florida did, making fun of Dan Mullen. And then they – what did they do? They actually had an excellent season. They won 10 games, nine in the regular season. They did a hell of a job in his first year. He's a great coach. He's won there as an offensive coordinator assistant, won championships there. So, yeah, I don't mind that at all, Dan Mullen. Thank Tennessee fans, we're still going to regret not getting Dan Mullen, although a lot of us were patting ourselves on the back that they didn't get him last year when people were making fun of Dan Mullen for a couple weeks that they were. He's a good coach.
So, I mean, I think a lot of people would have been okay with Dan Mullen. I think at the time people were still in on the groomers and thought that we were shooting a lot higher than Dan Mullen.
But he was – we're more reasonable than, you know, fans are going to be a lot of times. Most of the times, we'll say we're more reasonable. But I've always thought he's a pretty good coach, man, to win at Mississippi State the way he did, to win in Starkville.
Starkville, number one.
Yeah, got him to the number one ranking.
And beat Alabama.
Yeah. And it's Starkville. Have you guys ever been to Starkville? Anybody in here ever been to Starkville?
No.
Negative.
There's a reason why we haven't been to Starkville. And for him to be able to recruit 4 and 5 stars there, bravo to that man. What about some of these other coaches in the SEC list? Mark Stoops, is he probably top 50?
Let me see. Mark Stoops is at 33.
Yeah, so he's in the top 50. I would say you're going to have
Orgeron's number 15.
Yeah, Orgeron's going to be in top 20. Yep.
Gus Malzahn is at 19. Again, we're still waiting to hear
Jeremy Pruitt's going to be outside. He's going to be outside the top 50.
Mark Stoops is at 33. Will Muschamp is at 36. Barry Odom is at 40. Moving along. And hello, Jeremy Pruitt.
Right behind
Derek Mason. Oof. Jeremy Pruitt stands at the 54th best coach in college football, according to Sporting News, who has all of them ranked. I'm sorry, Walt Bell at Massachusetts. You're last. You're the worst. But 54, Pruitt, initial thoughts.
Give me 10 coaches behind him. I wonder, like, who are the other – like, give me just, like, 10 names behind
okay,
him.
Okay, you got Dana Holgorsen, Josh Heupel.
Heupel should be ahead of Jerry Pruitt. I hate to say it. Tennessee fans ain't going to like that, but I think he probably should be ahead of Pruitt. I would even maybe put Dana Holgorsen ahead of Pruitt.
Butch Davis, Kevin Sumlin, Matt Luke, Mike Norvell, Justin Wilcox, Chad Morris.
Justin Wilcox.
You know, you're in that area now.
Well, Justin Wilcox, a really good coach. He's you know, been rising in his career. Cal, they're okay, but he's a guy that we had here at one time as an assistant.
I think the more interesting conversation here is who is ahead of Jeremy Pruitt within the top 10 to 15 spots. So some of these are interesting. You have Matt Rhule at Baylor, Herm Edwards at Arizona State, Willie Taggart at Florida State. Again, we said Derek Mason at Vanderbilt. I get that.
He beat Pruitt.
Who?
Derek Mason, and he's beat Tennessee the last 3 years.
He did. But this is kind of the area you're in. Well, Barry Odom at Missouri.
A lot of this is also – Barry Odom's a better coach right now. I don't think that's – I think Tennessee fans won't want to hear that, but he is a better coach right now. It seems like this list is giving a lot of credit to the past performance too. If I had to go – I mean, this is just only because Pruitt's a – he's only been a coach for 1 year, so I mean, it'd be hard not to say that Willie Taggart hasn't been better in his longevity of his career compared to his 1 year. And then it was another name. You say Butch Davis? No, he was behind him, right?
Yes. Some of the ones I said, Herm Edwards.
Herm Edwards, they had a better year last year. I guess that's the only reason why he should be right there with Pruitt, because they're both first-year college football coaches. But they're probably giving him credence because he's been an NFL coach. So
Les Miles is at 30.
Hey, the Mad Hatter, I kind of got to give it to him.
Mac Brown's at 24.
I'm glad Les Miles is back.
Some of these are total crap.
Whoa.
The more I'm looking into this, some of these are
total
crap.
Mac Brown, also a champion.
Dude,
guys.
I'm sorry. Mac Brown got fired for a reason. Les Miles got fired for a reason. Like, you can't tell me that Mac Brown right now is a
did
top
Les
24
Miles get,
coach.
Did Les Miles – Les Miles had a really good record overall for his career when they fired him. And –
yeah, but he's
have they been that much better with Orgeron? They've been like one or two games better probably with Orgeron. So I don't know if like when you say like, oh, he definitely should have got fired.
Mac Brown was on this
list? At 24.
You think Mac
Brown? Mac Brown has been – he's been out of the game for 6 years.
You don't think he can coach anymore?
No.
Second highest ACC coach on the list.
No, he can't coach. Mac, it's going to be terrible.
Well, he's already familiar with the area. That's where he started out as coaching. I mean, he coached there for a long time before going to Texas.
No.
He'll at least have.
Did you see how many people were at their spring game?
Was it a lot?
No.
No. It was.
It was like maybe less than 1,000.
No way.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a huge story.
It was bad.
Spring games, though.
Who's getting excited for Mac Brown football?
No Texas one. Was fun to watch when Mac Brown was there. I can't say
10 years,
20
like
years
a,
ago,
yeah, 15 well, years well, ago. But when I'm just Vince saying, Carter was. Or
but
not,
you
got,
but you guys are saying
Vince
like
Young.
Well, you guys are saying like Mac Brown football. I'm just saying they were fun to watch. So his coaching style is not like something's going to put you to sleep. He recruited highly athletic players, and they were fun to watch. Vince Young. Ricky Williams, he had him, right? A lot of great players.
Again,
though.
But this is 15 years ago. Like the
I'm
game
not
moves
saying.
On. He shouldn't just come back in. Like, 24 is a stretch.
I'm not saying Mac Brown's going to come out here and just beat up on the ACC or win 9 games, but I think he's probably slightly better coached than Pruitt just because of his past.
Slightly better. He's 30 spots ahead.
What?
That's not slightly better.
And Mac Brown's
that's head and shoulders better.
Well, when we're getting up
30
to like,
spots?
We're getting like 20, but there's so many coaches we're talking about we can mix and match. I don't think it's that much of a jump. Like, a lot of these coaches are really tied.
I think it's a joke having him at 24.
He's Pruitt has doubled him. There's not, they're saying there's a very significant leap right here.
So if you had your choice.
Yes, Jeremy Pruitt.
Over Mac Brown.
It's not even close. I'm not taking retread Mac Brown.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, dude.
It's not about being. You don't
over.
Have to be sorry, dude.
No, not you.
I'm just saying, like,
not
but,
you.
But like, I'm saying, if I'm if just two coaches, if their names are not out there, And I'm gonna take the coach with the national championship rather than the coach without one, because I feel like he can probably get me back to one. That's just me. If
Jeremy
I don't,
Pruitt has national championships.
Mac Brown.
I'm talking about head coaching. I know he has one. I say to this day, 2013 Florida State is one of the best defenses in college football history, and it's noted by as far as the numbers go. I'm saying two coaches, records in the box. You got resume A, resume B. One's giving you a national title. This doesn't mean that I think Mac Brown, take away knowing that he's coming back after being off and that he got fired from Texas. No, you're a Texas guy. I'm taking the coach with the national title. That's just me, though.
He'll be 68 years old by the time the football season starts.
How old is Nick? Nick Saban's old as dirt. Coach K is old as dirt. He had a lot of old coaches. Bobby Bowden coached. He was like 80-something.
Yeah, but
I don't care about the age.
At a certain point, the game passes you by when you've been out of it for 6 years. I just don't get having him ranked that high.
Yeah, I agree. Like, it seems like a stretch to.
Bill Snyder left the game. He came back, was a pretty competent coach.
I mean, I feel like here, look at this. Okay, so Mac Brown's at 24. Number 25, Kirk Ferentz at Iowa. I feel like that's a slap in the face to Kirk Ferentz. Kirk Ferentz, not a young guy. But I would take him 10-1 over Mac Brown.
You'd take Kirk Ferentz?
Yes.
Wow.
The Mac Brown.
You guys don't like Mac Brown.
I mean, you can mark the tape and we can revisit this.
I got to mark no tape.
If you would like.
Or
but I think
I'm like an elephant. I'll remember
it. The Mac Brown era at North Carolina will be a disaster.
Ferentz has had six straight winning seasons at Iowa. Mac Brown has been out for six straight years. It seems like a stretch.
How many straight winning seasons did he have at Texas, though, or when he was at North Carolina the first time? We're going off.
Look, I don't think 15 years ago matters. We're talking about right now. This is not the top, you know, coaching history.
Okay. How about this? Mac Brown, 24. Scott Frost, 28.
Scott Frost had a tough year. I'd say I'm messing with you, but Scott Frost, they have a tough year. They got to turn around.
David Cutcliffe, 27. Chip Kelly, 29. Neil Brown, 26. I just don't get it.
It's a lot of Mac Brown hate. Les Miles, 112-32 when he got fired. By the way, for those of you listening.
It's just, it feels weird. It feels weird.
Mine.
This is an interesting list.
Here's what sticks out to me. The Pirate. Mike Leach, number 17. He could have been ours.
Yeah, he could have.
Mike Leach deserves to be there. Look at where he's taking Washington State, man.
I know. I have no problems with that.
We could have had him.
My problem is that he's not our coach.
They, a lot of fun to watch him. They actually were they were in the playoff discussion at one point last season. Got a squad.
The Pirate. Did you see where he was in Jordan a couple weeks ago?
Oh, yeah, he travels. He's a known traveler.
What was he doing there?
Just
traveling, being the pirate.
Yeah.
Doing
stuff.
Sightseeing.
Good for him.
Doing pirate stuff.
Good for him.
Intern Matt says blogging the experience.
I love Mike Leach.
Just look at him. He looks like, I'm forgetting his name. I shouldn't even pull up the reference. He looks like that one dude in Friday Night Lights, the TV show.
Never seen him.
Garrity. So he kind of looks like. I'll show you a picture later. Jumping into a break right now. 30 minutes left in the show, leading you into Talk Sports. If you would like to give us a call, 865-546-8200. We'll see you on the other side. Ow. 11:36 here on the Blitz. A little bit of time left. Our weekend is about to start. Any big plans for this weekend?
No.
No, I do a lot of working on the weekend. So I don't know. I don't know what those are.
What's
a weekend? When your week is always going.
Fair point.
I guess perpetual motion.
I guess, you know, it's when you're working on the weekends, it doesn't necessarily always feel the same. This is a much needed weekend for myself. I've traveled 3 straight weekends. On planes, on long drives, every which way. So I'm finally excited for a weekend where I can just kind of sit back and relax. I want to go see a movie. You want to go see the Godzilla movie?
Yeah.
You know what?
I'm intrigued.
I
didn't know.
Well, I thought you were going to see The Phoenix.
I've heard it's terrible.
I've heard it's so bad.
How do you know? You hadn't seen it for yourself.
I'm not going to waste it. That's what you guys were telling me earlier.
Just saying. Take a little piece of your own advice.
That is true, but when it comes to money, I'm not even going to take my chances. If I got to spend $15 on a movie ticket, I'm going to go see something that I want to see. I have no interest in X-Men at this point.
Yeah,
so it's a dead franchise.
Wait till it comes out on Redbox.
Yeah,
Netflix,
there's nothing going for it.
Ooh, it's got a 23 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Speaking of Rotten Tomatoes, Toy Story 4, 100%.
Really?
100%. Could it be the best one yet? It probably will be.
No. Nothing beats the original. It's the GOAT.
3 was pretty good.
It wasn't better than 1.
I think 4 could be it, dude. I think 4 could be it.
Mm.
So pretty much the we got the rest of this segment, and then we will head over to if you haven't heard, to close out the show today. What I kind of want to bring up for this last bit is a little more Tennessee basketball news, but not entirely recruiting related. We are 6 days away, I believe it is, from the NBA draft. 1 week from today, we'll be talking about where Grant went, where Admiral went, if they went, what would happen, what's their future going to look like. We're going to have so much to talk about 1 week from today with the NBA draft next Thursday. Now, Bleacher Report put out one of their final official top 50 prospects list. Now, this is not a mock draft by any means, but it is kind of what they're ranking the top NBA prospects are. Would you like to know Admiral's, or would you like to know Grant's position first?
Admiral.
Grant.
Admiral.
I need a coin.
Grant.
Matt, 2 out of 3.
Matt said Admiral.
Admiral Schofield checks in at number 45. At 6'5", 241 pounds with 6.8% body fat, Schofield has a unique, powerful body. His consistent shooting and improved shot-making versatility will earn him looks in the 30s and 40s. So that's about, early second round. I think that's fair, give or take a little while. Give or take a couple spots in each direction. I would not be surprised whatsoever if he snuck into the first round, especially when it seems like a team like Utah really likes him. I know that San Antonio has said great things about him. And it wouldn't surprise me a little bit if he fell, a couple of spots in the second round. I think that's probably a good place to put him right there in the 30s and 40s. So he checks in at the number 45 prospect in the, participating in the NBA draft. Too high, too low? Doesn't matter?
I think it's about right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably about right.
If it helps you with any comparison, number 46 is Naz Reid from LSU. And then you have Grant Williams. He checks in at number 16. Sandwiched right in between two Kentucky players, Tyler Harrow at 17 and PJ Washington at 15. Here's what they have to say about Grant. Scouts are split on Williams, who lacks traditional NBA athleticism and the shooting range to compensate. I'm buying a skill level, intangibles, and defense, however. Highly efficient and advanced from the post, Williams also demonstrates outstanding defensive anticipation as well as maturity and leadership that could turn him into a locker room favorite for any team. So he checks in at 16.
I think that's about right, too. I think maybe a little high. Well, I mean, if we're kind of using this, do we think he'll go at pick 16?
No.
I think that's a little high.
No, and this specifically states that these are Wasserman's personal rankings, not a projection for the draft.
Gotcha.
So he just believes that Grant Williams is the 16th best player. He believes that Admiral Schofield is the 45th best player. And I don't even think that adds in, like, their ability to their ability to translate into the NBA game. I think they're just saying from where they are right now, he believes that Grant Williams is the 16th best player out of these top 50. And I would typically agree on both. I don't think that, again, like you said, these are, I don't think Admiral's going to go at 45, and I don't think Grant's going to go at 16. I think they're going to be fairly closer together. But I think what they said about both are true. I think that the criticism on Grant Williams is that, you know, hey, maybe he doesn't have the range that you would typically see from a big man in the NBA. Maybe he doesn't have the exact athleticism, but hey, there are so many things that he brings to the table above the rest of the guys.
Yeah, Grant's definitely going to have to add more of a shot to ever have to show to be higher looked at. I guess he can't do it now because he's entering the draft. But I mean, that's the thing that's going to hold him back. Undersized, doesn't have the ability to stretch a shot out right now. Hopefully, that's going to get better as he becomes an NBA player. But then Admiral's definitely the better pro, in my opinion. I've said I thought that he's going to get drafted higher. Grant Williams has those leadership intangibles that you can't teach, and somewhere like the Spurs or Raptors would be good for Grant Williams. That'd be a good good organization. Stay away from places like the Mavericks and places like on the big rebuild and got a lot of front office problems. Mavericks got a lot of front office problems outside even their basketball stuff. Those harassment claims by the staff, and they're just trying to fix their image. I'm saying he just needs to go to a good organization that's actually on their way up or already there for Grant Williams, because he doesn't have that athletic ability, and so he needs to be fit into the perfect role. Admiral, he's kind of transformed his game. He did this past year, so I think he could play maybe two to three different positions, and depending on how hard he works, he could prosper for a while. I like Admiral's chances in the NBA.
It's interesting to see where they both will go.
I'm with what was this guy's name that wrote this again? I can't remember.
Jonathan Wasserman.
I definitely agree with him though about Williams. The last part where he says his maturity and leadership could turn him into a locker room favorite. If he gets with the right team, whether that be the Spurs, somebody that has the stable front office, stable ownership that's not dysfunctional like the Lakers.
Yeah, gotta stay away from the Lakers, the Mavericks, the Knicks. You don't know what's going on there.
I mean, you get him with a nice stable team. I think Grant could be a nice player and kind of really find his niche. Play a long time in the NBA.
I like his chances. I like his chances.
Yeah, I really think that Tennessee fans feel great about both guys going in. Right? Like, you do have Admiral, who is the guy who, you're hoping is going to make that kind of big jump, right? Maybe from where his original projections were. Maybe his original projections were late second round. Now we're talking about a guy who could go in the first round. I mean, that's incredible for the Tennessee program. If you can get two guys in on the first night, holy smokes. That's huge. And then you have the back-to-back SEC Player of the Year, Grant Williams, who is certainly no slouch at all. He will be a first-round pick.
I don't know. I think so, too. I have seen some mock drafts where they have him going, very early second. So.
And those are out there, but
I'm with you though. I think he's a first round pick too. But I have seen those where he's projected second round.
Nonetheless, though, I mean, a good position for Tennessee's fans to be in heading into this NBA draft. Like, this is gonna be fun. This is gonna be a blast. We get to see Admiral go in. We get to see Grant go in. We're really hoping that Jordan Bone makes the strides and he gets in. somebody takes a, you know, somebody takes a chance
takes,
on
takes
him.
Takes a flyer?
Takes a flyer.
You wanted to say flyer? Takes a flyer. We hear that around this time.
I did think about that. I subconsciously thought that in my head. Pulled back. Take a chance. Take maybe a little bit of a risk. You never know. You never know
take
what you
a,
could get
take
with Jordan
a gamble.
Bone. Take
gamble.
A gamble. That right there is your, I guess, just one of the many 2019 NBA draft big boards. Again, that is a week from yesterday. So a week from today, we will be in here in the booth breaking down everything you need to know about where these Tennessee players go in the draft. One more segment coming up in the Blitz. Taking you into Talk Sports. We got, if you haven't heard, bringing you some of the best news stories of the day coming up next. Couple minutes left of the Blitz. Rick, Brandon, Chance, Matt, leading you into Talk Sports with John, Cody, and Ben. And just like that, we are near the end of the show. Your weekend is almost here. It's just a couple hours away. Unless, you know, you do have work and stuff this weekend, in which I am sorry. I do apologize for that. I wish you didn't have to. But nonetheless, we'll be back here on Monday. Same time, same place. So, here's our final segment of If You Haven't Heard.
Final segment of the week, Friday Gang Friday. Stepping right up. If you haven't heard, NBA Finals ended last night. NBA news will keep rolling on the rest of the summer. We've got free agency coming right up. Kemba Walker stated yesterday to our former friend of the show and former sports director at WBR, Nick Carboni, the first time free agent. Kemba Walker spoke with Carboni, said that he would take less than the Supermax to help the Hornets build around him this coming year. He said, quote, yeah, I would take less. Sure, why not? I would take less. His Supermax contract will be $221 million, but he is offering to take less. And this comes from a guy who's been there about 8 years, and they've never put anything around him. Kemba Walker, why are you the way that you are? Also, in other news, Cuba Gooding Jr., show me the money. He turned himself in over accusations that he
actually – He got me too'd.
Wow. He turned himself in over accusations of groping. Yep, they caught him as well. Groping two women. He surrendered yesterday. Actually, and this, if I'm not mistaken
– Radio got me too'd.
Yeah, this radio. This actually happened in – somebody told me it happened in – I'm trying to find this. I don't know if I'm sure if that happened in Cuba, actually, when he's on a trip. Cuba Gooding Jr. in Cuba. Also, his lawyer – I thought this was a little bit outside the box to say. Cuba Gooding Jr.'s lawyer said, the actor is frisky, but he's not inappropriate, end quote.
I feel like that's not the best thing to say.
So,
that's quite the description.
He likes to get a little frisky.
He's frisky.
But he's not inappropriate.
But he knows his limits.
He knows the lines. You guys want one more?
Sure. Bring it.
I got another one. Two giraffes were actually killed in a billion-to-one lightning strike at a Florida wildlife park, guys.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Billion?
Yeah, one.
A billion-to-one. A billion.
Gioni, the giraffes of Lyon County Safari Park in West Palm Beach, were killed instantly due to a rare lightning strike in the area. Quote, we continue to mourn our two incredibly loved and charismatic giraffes. They both will be sorely missed, spokesperson for the wildlife park said. So, yeah, pretty crazy. In a billion to one chance they would get struck by lightning, they both were struck at the same time. And it is conclusive. Pathology results have confirmed that giraffes, did die as a result of a lightning strike.
I have many questions.
They did not suffer any trauma, though. There was no pain.
Instantaneous?
It was quick. Yeah.
I would assume so. I mean, holy smokes. You're getting hit with a... What, now, was it one lightning bolt that split off into two, like a fork? Or what, did one giraffe get struck and then, you know, the lightning just kind of bounced off to the other one? Was it one lightning bolt and they were just very close in proximity to each other and they hit them both?
I'm not sure, Rick.
A lot of questions here.
Yeah, a lot of questions.
I'm going to get to the bottom of this.
Like a five-year-old.
I don't know.
Those are fair questions.
I would say...
It doesn't really say in the article.
If I had to guess,
yeah,
I would say it forked.
Yeah, I kind of feel like it would, too. Although, what I would like is if, like, it hit one...
He just threw something out there. If I had my guess, I feel like it forked. You know, Brandon, I kind of feel like you're right. That kind of sounds really smart. It definitely forked.
I'm rolling with it.
Yeah.
Hey, do what you got to do.
Today would have been Pat Summitt's 67th birthday.
R.I.P.
Oh.
R.I.P. to the GOAT, to the legend.
Well, happy birthday.
Pat Summitt.
Another sad news, since we're on the sad tick. Denver Broncos owner Pat Bowlen has died, age 75.
Well, let me give us some good news to end it off. Ladies and gentlemen, have a good rest of your day because today is the wonderful holiday.
Oh, yeah.
Give it to him, Brandon.
It's Flag Day.
It's Flag Day.
How are you going to celebrate,
Rick?
Been
teasing it for a whole week.
How are you going to celebrate, Rick?
I don't know. I'm going to go, what do you do on Flag Day, man? I don't know.
I'm not going to do a
I think you should go.
Day,
I'm going to go do the Pledge of Allegiance.
What the hell
while looking at a flag.
Flag Day, Matt?
I think you should go buy a flag
kay.
And just run around with an American flag.
All right. Where?
People do that
everywhere.
All the time, though.
Everywhere.
Is Flag Day every day? If you... I don't know.
June 14th, Flag Day.
Flag Day, huh?
I had so many great ideas for Flag Day in here.
So what
Flag
is,
Day, I might just take a knee.
What is Flag Day?
How about that? I'll take a knee on Flag Day today. Anybody got any problems with that?
Welcome to Do Whatever You Want here on
Thank
The Blitz.
You. Nobody has a problem with it. Thank you.
That right there is our show.
Great week.
Happy weekend to you. Have a good one. We will see you right back here on Monday. Matt, thank you for hanging out. Talk Sports coming up next. For Rick, Brandon, and Chance, we'll see you next week. Go.